You about ready? This is Marty Ford from the basement of the Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tantra Watch Station. I'm psyched. I'm pumped. I'm loaded like a camel, 2 full humps. I'm psyched. I'm pumped. I'm loaded like a camel with 2 full humps. Oh, I can't control all this soul. You better get some butter because I'm going to be on a roll pretty soon. Listen, before we begin today's lesson, let's exercise our brains a little bit, do a little critical thinking. The question is, how far can you walk into the woods? How far can you walk into the woods? I want you to think about that for a while. And then later on in the show, or at show's end, if I remember, because, you know, I'm getting old, I can't remember all these things. If I remember to give you the answer, I will. And if I don't, then maybe I'll do it next week with another critical thinking exercise for our brains. But when we clear our heads, we're ready to go. That's what You're About Ready is. We're ready to go. I want to talk about something on a serious point right away, and it's healthcare. Healthcare is a topic that's been in the forefront most of the past several years, and it's another situation where there's a 10,000-page or so document that no one understands or probably hasn't even read in its entirety, let alone comprehend it. But since I specialize in the simple things in life, which is why most people get along with me pretty well and easily, because they like the simple things in life, and simple is what and who I am. I've come up with a bit of a plan, for lack of a better word, that can address the healthcare situation in our great country. Have you ever been walking to your table at a restaurant? I noticed the diner in there going over their meal, and it looked down and said, "Boy, that looks pretty good. Something interesting, something different. I don't see a picture of it anywhere, so it's pretty interesting." So you ask what he was eating, and he told you. When your server comes to take your order, you say simply reply with, "I'll have what he's having." And you point over to the person, "I'll have what he's having. Go check with him if you need to." Now, I'm not talking about When Harry Met Sally, that kind of stuff. That's different. But this is without emotion and quite simple, simply put, it's the American people we want to service and we want to provide national health care for. So if we can provide it for all the people who are our leaders throughout the country and we pay for it, probably for them and their families while they're in office and maybe even while they're out of office. I don't know the rules. They make them up as they see fit. If we can do it for them forever, why can't we do it for us? Why can't we pay for ourselves, have it paid for ourselves with our own money? The infrastructure is in place. It might need a little correction or corrective action. You know, we have to clean it up and reduce, hopefully eliminate such things as bribes, graft, corruption, and fraud. But we do have a pretty good infrastructure in place. And that's something I know nothing about, whether it's part A or part B or any part in between. And that's the Medicare and Medicaid system. It's been around for a long time. It's helped a lot of people. And it can continue to do great things for all of us. When it's cleaned up, the money we save in cleaning it up can even be put back in the kitty for distribution to those providing health care services for us all. Now, it sounds noble. It sounds great. And to expand that, we got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. Well, that's easy. To quench America's thirst for gambling, which started in the bingo halls many years ago and expanded to racetracks and sporting events, the stock market, raffle tickets, lotteries, and in the past 20 years, casinos in many parts of the country, both on and off Native American reservations, why not provide a way to help satisfy that thirst to gamble, at the same time providing a solution? Remember, we want to go for solutions. We don't want Band-Aids. We don't want a cast. We don't want a sling or anything. We want a solution because so many people go to bed at night worrying, God forbid, what happens if I get sick or I need help and it's just not there. You know, one major illness or crisis can bankrupt people and they end up, and that's a big worry on people's mind. Certainly it is if you're a working person and you have bills to pay and families and all that kind of stuff that most of us do. My plan, as you will see, is a prime example of the people, by the people, and most importantly, for the people. And here's how it works. Let's say we have roughly about 300 million people in the country. My numbers are all off. You're going to need some 15-year-old math whiz at MIT to run the numbers and put up different models and make it happen. But I'm just a plain old guy, and I'm coming up with random numbers, close but not exact. So we have 300 million people in the country. And the best guesstimate of people 21 years of age are 150 million people. So let's say half the population is over the age of, or 21 or over. Now, if we change the law to 18, like we do for military service and so forth and other things, driver's license, even younger, the eligible numbers will rise. So maybe instead of 150 million people, we'll have 200 million people eligible to participate in the national lottery, which is called To Your Health. The To Your Health lottery is much better than raising a glass of liquor or anything like that and toasting someone to your health, when we know the adverse effects of perhaps too much drinking isn't that good. A little bit is all right, like everything else. But the To Your Health, For Your Health national lottery. So we have our best guesstimate of 150 million people age 21 and over. We're going to limit their weekly bet to $10 a person. That comes to $520 a year. Now, based on 150 million people eligible at $520 a year, that generates a gross income of $78 billion. Now, I find that hard to believe, but I did the math a lot, and even without a calculator, it came to $78 billion. Now, we have to talk about overhead and expenses. Now, the overhead, including salaries and benefits and rent, utilities, insurance, and furniture and fixtures and equipment and telecommunications, supplies and maintenance and so forth, comes to 10 to 15% of the gross income. That's another best guess estimate. We don't want to put this place where it's going to be run in a high-rent district. Put it somewhere where the rent is lower, labor pool is available, and people can earn a living in helping to manage and run this national lottery. I'd rather go high. It's probably a high percentage, 10 to 15%, but I'd rather go high and then come down. It's easier to do that than to go up. So with $78 billion generated as gross income minus the 15% expenses, which are come to $11.7 billion, we have an income, not quite a net income, but of $66.3 billion. And that's before we pay out any winnings. Now, how are we going to pay the winnings? We're going to guarantee that every week $25 million is going to be distributed. If there's one person who gets all the numbers, and we'll probably use the same model as most lotteries do, some form of six numbers out of 50 or whatever it is. And again, we can have this youthful math whiz create a model for that using current models out there. So we have a six out of six. Top prize winner gets the $25 million for that week. If there's no six out of six winner, then the prize gets divided among those with 5 out of 6 and 4 out of 6 winning numbers and down the line until all $25 million is distributed each week, every week. So with that $25 million every week annualized comes to $1.3 billion that the country is paying out. The healthcare lottery, two-year health lottery, is paying out $1.3 billion every year. And what that does, now we have a net first-year income of $65 billion. After the winnings are paid out, after the bills are paid, after the people are paid who are working for the National Healthcare Lottery, $65 billion net income. Just with a moderate investment of 2 to 4% over time, that generates more and more and more money. Now, how are we going to put this thing into play? We're going to have subscription registration. You register online. We'll try to create, not try, we will create a secure site. And you know what? If you want to have a secure site, my suggestion is go to the credit card companies. I was driving around the country, stopped in three different states to get gas for the car. And by the time I got to the third state to fill up, the credit card was denied. No approval. I had to call my wife, who called the credit card company, and my wife was told, that we have activity on the card in Virginia and Maryland and now in Georgia and what's going on. So she explained that everything, and they opened up the credit card. That's security. And I think they even have more intense security, and hopefully I'll never have to be involved with that when things go awry with identity theft and credit card theft and all that. But the credit card companies seem to have a handle on it. So maybe we can hire them to do the security for the website. So we can have subscription registrations, and people can sign up for 1, 5, 10, 15, 20, and 25 years, right? This way, all the money is collected up front. And again, even with a modest investment of 2 to 3%, 4% if it's in good times, revenues will increase steadily even if subscriptions decrease. Now, how are we going to distribute the money? All winning prize money is distributed in lump sum payouts. No discounts for taking the cash. Most lotteries today, if you win, some people just won the Powerball, I saw on the news, and they took the cash. So that big chunk of money gets reduced to a 30 or 40% of the original amount. Then they pay taxes on it, and they're left with maybe 30 or 40%, which is still not bad, right? No one ever went broke making a profit. So it's good, but we want to be a little different, set a niche, create a niche, and we want all prize money to be distributed in lump sum payouts with no discounts for taking the cash, and you will have direct deposit. We'll have electronic transfer from the headquarters office of the To Your Health National Healthcare Lottery right to your bank account when you provide the appropriate paperwork and numbers. And here's a big kicker: all winning prize money is tax-free. How about that? Tax-free here in America. Well, we want the money to go to the people in more ways than one. This is a double-edged, not sword, this is a double-edged beauty. This is both sides of the table eaten from both hands. So you get health care for all people eligible and qualified and participating in it. And if you have young kids and you participate in it, they're in it on your policy until they reach a certain age, which we can work out later. And again, all money is distributed via electronic mail direct deposit. So we'll take care of the kids while they're in school, while they're in college, till they get set up, and then they'll have it on their own. When they hit 21, they want to participate in it, fine, they're on their own. They can do it too. Let's give the kids a little bit of independence and stop hovering and micromanaging and doing all the stuff for them that enables them. Let's do something with them so they can become empowered, right? Because when you're empowered, you can do it on your own. You don't need somebody to make your bed or take out the trash or cook your food or do your laundry, right? Kids out there, if you're 20, 21 years old, coming home for the weekend from school or Christmas, and mom's still doing all that stuff or dad's still doing all that stuff, think about it, you know? Empowerment. We want to become empowered. You'll be surprised, amazed at what you can accomplish, more than you ever thought possible by doing it on your own. And you feel better about yourself when you do things on your own. You take great pride and quality in what you do. Anyway, the National Lottery once-a-week drawing is going to be held on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, right in the middle of the week. Wednesday's hump day for a lot of people. Has been spewed out over the newsrooms all over the country recent years. So to get over the hump, 10 o'clock, everybody gets psyched. You know, I got psyched tonight before I went on the air, listening to some Blue-Eyed Soul, listening to some big drums pounding, because the drum is the heartbeat, the pulse. And we want this, the National Lottery, To Your Health, For Your Health, National Lottery healthcare system, to be your heartbeat, so that when you go to sleep at night, your heart's beating nice and calm, so you don't have to worry. You have health care. Your family has health care. If you need medicine, you have to get to the doctor, you're covered. It's paid for. What? By the people, of the people, and for the people. And we are the people. We can even go so far as creating a little newsletter once every 3 or 4 months, giving updates of payouts, of funny stories, nice stories, heartwarming stories. We can put that in a newsletter and put it out at all the post offices in the country so people can go in and pick one up, right? Post office, we can utilize their services, even though they're going to be closing some of their sites and so forth for economic reasons, but it's still a viable source to deliver the mail. It's also a good place to register people coming into the country rather than chase them all over the place to say, hey, listen, go to the post office. We have the forms. Fill out the forms. We'll have, one of the postmasters is qualified and approved and certified and credentialed to take care of that. And boom, you're in, right? If you have to take a test, you study and take the test. That's another story. That's my plan. It's pretty plain and simple, right? We have people. We have a small wager of $10 a week. Now, you bump that wager to $20 a week, $25 a week. You know, some people can afford more than others. That's fine. Or some people want to play more than others. That's fine, too. Hell, if you can spend $8 on a pack of cigarettes or $4 for a gallon of gas or $9 for a sandwich, you know, so you miss a meal once or twice a week, you're not going to starve to death. Just take a look around at what's going on as far as obesity and overweight and all that stuff. We can afford, we can find ways, not afford, we can find ways to make this happen, right? Now, all the doubters and the cynics and the critics, they're going to jump on the bandwagon, and their first response is, no, it can't work, this is impossible, it's too difficult, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let's not take a history lesson to all the people who have contributed greatly to our society, many of whom I'm using right now, like the guy who invented headphones or the computer or the cell phone or a printer or anything else that isn't around your home. Someone had to take the stand and take a chance to create it and invent it and then sell it. Well, right now we're trying to sell this viable product. Yes, it needs fine-tuning. Yes, it needs to be gone over. But the structure, the overall structure of it, it's there. It's plain and simple, and it's right in front of us. So the critics, doubters, and cynics, they'll disagree, find faults and flaws in my plan, as I said. And I expect this, and I've encountered this type of attitude and shoving it down my throat and in my face throughout my life. But you know what? At 62 years old, I still play full court basketball 3 to 4 times a week with guys a decade or 2 or 3 or 4 younger than me. Right? I'm out there. I contribute what I can. Ever since I was a kid, I've had absolutely no basketball skills. I can't dribble. I can't shoot. But I can do the little things that never show up in the scoreboard or on TV that get spoken about by the announcers. Right? In our country, we want to go for fame and glamour or glory. But I'm the guy diving on the floor. I'm the guy setting the screen, boxing out, getting a rebound, making a pass, doing all the little things to help a team win. 62. That's not too bad. I have my – oh, well, by the way, the guys I play with, I've been playing with these guys for about 20-some years, most of them, they're kind to the old and feeble, and they let me play even if I don't bring the ball, which, by the way, is the only way I got in the game when I was a kid. I had to bring the ball because, again, I have no skills or talent, but I have love and passion for basketball, yeah, and sports in general. But basketball, I just love – there's no better season – it starts in October and ends in May and June. And if you can find a better tournament to be part of than the NCAA basketball tournament, then you're a better man than me. But that's what I love. And so I'm still out there scraping and scrapping, hurting, right? Got a lot of body aches. I have aches and pains, but I'll tell you what, the pain of not playing is far worse than any pain I've learned to endure. There's a million and one excuses why my plan will not work, and only a few reasons that it will work, which is all that's needed. Actually, we only need one reason. We need the right people in the right position of power and influence to say, hey, this is a good thing. I am not connected to those people. Maybe somebody out there in this world that I'm coming to you over BBS radio is and can do us some good. But remember this, excuses explain failure. Why'd your team lose? The other team cheated. The referee didn't like us. It was raining. It was cold. Those are all excuses, man. You lost. Don't give us excuses. You lost. You failed. And it happens. Learn from your failure. And it's not a failure. Become empowered. Grow from it. Learn from it. Move on and do better the next time. So while excuses explain failure, guess what reasons do? They define success. Why'd your team win? Well, we practiced hard. We listened to the coach. We were prepared. We overcame adversity. We overcame obstacles. Guys or players have heart, and they play with talent, but they win with heart. And when you have heart, you can do anything, right? You can just accomplish more than you ever thought possible because you're empowered. Let's go. Everything is related, what you're going to hear. Everything is interrelated, right? One thing doesn't happen by itself. So you become empowered. You start offering reasons for your success. And a lot of times we're reluctant to because maybe we're shy or hesitant, but that's okay. Excuses, we're filled with excuses. Just watch TV, go out, talk to people. Oh, woe is me, oh, woe is me. Well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing to get out of the funk? What are you doing to overcome obstacles? What are you doing to succeed over your struggles? Right? How are you handling that? Many years ago, there were no ways to handle such things as what? Learning disabilities. Kids sat in class, and I was one of them. Wasn't a problem kid, well-behaved, respectful, way I was brought up. But I had trouble reading. I'm talking 40, 50 years ago. The words were like, teacher said, here's a homework, 2 pages of history, go home, read it, answer the 4 questions. Hey, I'd be an hour. I'm on the first paragraph on the first page. Read it 3 times, don't know what I'm reading. Back then, no one knew what it was. There was no one to empower me. Right? So I squeaked by, I made it through, and I learned to compensate as time went on. Now there's remedies and solutions for kids who are struggling, where they don't have to struggle. They can feel, be part of the whole. They can be included. Remember, inclusion is a very important word. We want everyone to be included in the 2-year health, national healthcare lottery, right? We don't want exclusion. When you're excluded, you feel, who's out there? Does anybody know I'm alive? Does anybody know I exist? My gosh. All right, so excuses explain failure and reasons define success. Philosophically, that's the way I live, and that's what I try to teach our kids and anybody I come in contact with. To think positively, be on your A game at all times, practice, do a little bit more practice, go the extra mile, find the things that you do best, do them, and then do a little bit more, and you'll be happy you did. The National Healthcare Lottery, simple. Remember I told you. Most folks like the simple things in life, which is why they get along with me, because I'm a simple type guy. Basic stuff. Oh, in addition to the basketball that I play with guys, on Sunday mornings we have Sunday morning pickup soccer and with a different group of guys, an international flavor of guys, Europe, South America, Middle East, African, Canadian, all over, un-American, right? Guys just coming for the common love of soccer. Again, I have no skills. I don't even dribble the ball. I can't dribble with my hands, let alone my feet. I can get out of the way. I can do little things like maybe touch a pass and try to make a kick or use my head once in a while to bang the ball to somebody on a pass. But again, they're kind to the old and feeble and let me play because maybe I'm a role model for them because these guys are in – some are in their teens, again, like basketball, young kids in college. Some are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And here I am, 62. I'm out there gimping around. It looks like running. People call it running, but I'm really gimping and limping because my legs and there's a lot of pain that I don't want to talk about. But that's okay. I'm out there. And if I can be a role model for them, like guys were for me when I went to the playground when I was 14 and played with guys in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and I asked them, you know, how old they are, and they told me, and I said, man, when I'm your age, I want to keep doing that. That's my motivation. That's my drive. It's my passion to keep active. We're too sedentary in our country. Too much hiding behind a clicker or sitting in front of a screen. You know, the power went out here on the East Coast last year during a big storm for days. And most people were okay. But the ones who were hooked on the screens were just saying, I just need a screen to look at. Cell phone, laptop, iPad, whatever screen they could look at to gather their world, they didn't have access to. Or if they did, they had very little access to. And it was almost like a crisis situation. What do? I'm so bored because I don't have a screen to look. Well, get out. Get out. You can go G-verb. G-verb is a great thing. It stands for get up, get out, get going. Do something. Get off the couch, get out of the chair, stop laying around, get out and do something. Be active. Take care of your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, your total package. Take care of you. It's out there. Sometimes we choose not to. But the soccer guys are great. Sometimes I hear languages. It's like walking in a big city that has an international population, right? So many different languages, and I know what they're talking about. They're talking about soccer. They're saying things like nice pass or move to the left a little or do this or do that. And of course, they tell me because I ask. I'm inquisitive. I want to know what they're saying, and maybe I can learn a few things from them. It's a great way to have relations with people, positive, healthy, dynamic relations is to participate in a sport. It's a great equalizer. Look what happens at the Olympics. People from all over the world, you know. Who cares what goes on behind the scenes? That stuff's going to happen anyway, no matter where you go, in what arena you're participating in, whether it's corporations or politics or government or education or anything. You're going to have all the behind-the-scenes stuff that's there to distract you. But on the surface, things like the Olympics are great things. Brings people from all over the world together for a short time. And the great equalizer, even those athletes, like to eat, right? I grew up in a neighborhood that had smells and aromas from all over. And you can go from neighborhood to neighborhood and smell, oh, boy, what are they cooking over there? That's great. I think maybe I'll knock on the door. And back in those days, you could do that because everybody knew everybody else. You could have five dinners from five different nationalities. It's excellent. I'm paying for it now, which is why I'm probably still playing. But anyway, national health care. The system's in place to run it. Medicare, Medicaid. We just need to clean it up, right? Because there's unscrupulous people out there taking advantage of a system because there's not a lot of oversight. And there's not a lot of consequences for those who do violate the trust of the law. And for those, we need to banish them. Maybe even banish them from participating. You get one shot, you're out. Or one chance, not shot. You get one chance. You mess up, you get caught and doing any of those things, you know, with graft or corruption or fraud or bribes. You're running a little business selling stuff you buy from one guy for a dollar and sell it or to the government for $500. Or if you're filling out erroneous medical claims and cheating the government for services that you didn't provide, well, you don't deserve to participate. Let's have some tough, strong consequences for those who want to set themselves apart by not participating in a good, healthy, honest, open plan and policy for the good of the American people. The national health care system, it's simple, it can be safe, it can be secure, and more importantly, it will work when the right people in the right positions of influence and power decide that, hey, let's do this a simple way. We don't need, like I said before in the opening, we don't need 10,000 pages of rhetoric and confusion that even the people who write it don't even remember what is in it. And if you listen to 10 different commentators on the news on the radio or TV or something, they give you a little piece that they've studied for a week to find out if they understand it. And you don't know what they're talking about anyway. They could be telling you anything. So let's keep it simple. Let's keep it secure. Let's keep it possible. And let's make it happen. Remember, let's go over this one more time. 300 million people roughly in the country. 150 million eligible people 21 years of age or older. Change the law to make eligibility 18 years old, and that 150 million goes up. We limit the bet to $10 per person per week for $520 per year. You raise that, you double it to $20 a week. It's $1,000 a year per person, $1,040, and then the numbers go up exponentially. So based on the $10 subscription bet, we have $78 billion in income, gross income. We have $11,700,000,000 in expenses, which is about 15% of the gross. We have an income off that before the winnings are paid of $66,300,000,000. We guarantee a weekly payout of $25 million. We then have a first-year payout of $1.3 billion, which gives us the first year a net income, total net income of $65 billion after all the bills are paid. And again, if we raise the numbers legitimately and legally to the eligibility and the betting limit, opportunities, that's great too. And if we have people sign up for for 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, et cetera, et cetera, then the numbers, the gross income even goes higher. We pay out 6 out of 6, 5 out of 6, 4 out of 6, until all the money of the $25 million every week is distributed. It's distributed in lump sum payments, no discount for taking the cash, and all the money, the winning prize money, is tax-free. And all winning prize money is distributed through electronic mail direct deposit. The drawing is held Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. We can have a newsletter every 3 or 4 months published and distributed, made available at the post offices throughout the country. And that's it, plain and simple. Let's make it happen. Somebody out there, you're only 2 phone calls away from talking to the person you need to talk to. I don't know that person, but I know someone out there in listening land knows somebody who they can call, who can't do this, but knows somebody who can. And when you get to that second person, then the network opens up even greater, and larger opportunities are there for someone to make this happen. I am just the guy presenting a situation. Maybe I'm the catalyst. Maybe I'm the reason it's going to happen. But I doubt that. It takes someone bigger, stronger, more influential, and more of a position to make this happen. So that's it, plain and simple, just like me. National Healthcare, to your health lottery. Let's make it happen. I mentioned a lot of things about topics, and I talked about pickup basketball that I play, like I say, 3 to 4 times a week. And I have my aches and pains, and I get upset when, like, the past 2 or 3 weeks, I couldn't play because we were busy with family stuff, running around the country, taking care of the kids and their lives. And I finally made it back, and I got in the game, and I thought I was going to be winded and tired and all, but it was great. And even some of the guys said, hey, where were you? We were going to send the posse after you, which is nice. It's a good feeling to have the people be concerned. But pick up basketball. It's just not basketball. It's competition. It's a weekly, or actually 3 to 4 times a week, depending on the season and the weather and availability of indoor facilities when the weather is cold here in the East Coast and unplayable outside. But it's so much more than just a basketball game. It's guys with the guys. Now, don't get crazy with all this stuff. It's guys with the guys. And most of the time, the women in their life are happy that they're out there playing because it's a chance to run. It's a chance to exercise. It's a chance to get your heart rate going. It's a chance to compete. It's a chance for intensity to come over your soul when it's a close game and you have the ball and you want to make that shot, because the way we play a game to 7, and whoever wins a game stays on to play the next waiting group of guys. And there are times where we've only had 6, so we play 3-on-3, and I labor through that. But in recent times and in years past, up at the playground, there's 2 full courts. And years ago, we'd had on a Saturday and Sunday morning at 8:30, we'd have both full courts running and 10 guys waiting. And I don't know where they came from. Most of them were local, and many have moved on but been replaced by a lot of good players. Of course, much younger players, and everyone's younger to me. But it's so much more. It's the spirit of camaraderie. Of many of the guys are strangers. You know, we have families. Even some of the younger guys are starting their careers, living out on their own and so forth. But the mecca, the hub, is the playground or the school gym when we can get into it. And I'll talk about schools hopefully tonight or maybe at a later date, depending on the time constraints. But the thrill, the banging bodies, the pushing, the shoving, the yelling, the screaming, all these things are just great, right? It's get your feelings out. You don't need to sit in a group pounding drums. If that works for you, that's fine too, right? But you need to be out competing. We are competitive animals by nature, if that makes sense. We need to be out there. We have to be out there. I know the guys, they get the bends if they don't play and they miss a week or two. Where have you been? Oh, I couldn't. I had to do this. I had to do that. Right? And always, no matter who the guy is, the rule is their kids come first. And I missed many a game because my kids had their youth sports activities and their travel and their school activities and all that. So the kids come first. Right? And if you played at night, you made sure you did the homework with the kids and had dinner ready for them so you could go out and play. Take the burden and pressure off a spouse. She doesn't need that either, right? If you're so inclined to do so, right? So you're out there, you're playing the game, it's fresh air, you're breathing, it's hot, you're sweating, you're grumpy, you're guzzling Gatorade or water, you're banging bodies, you're scraping your legs all over the place, you're running into walls, you're getting in arguments, you're venting, you're letting off steam, you're having fun, right? You're having fun, and that's what's missing in a lot of people's lives. Too much misery, too much struggle, too much heartache, not enough out there relieving yourself of burdens, right? Straight up, I was a bit stressed. I don't know if stress is the right word. Whatever word it is, I was thinking about this show tonight since about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I was watching the clock, and it wasn't moving, and I was helping my son with some stuff, and I made dinner, and I helped my wife clean up, and I did all the things to try to ease my mind off of this, but I was feeling the time constraint coming upon me. And so I went down into the basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Console Wash Station, where I'm at, and I put on some music, right? Now, music today, I'm not a person that likes to put things in my ears to listen to music. It bothers me after a while. I don't like headphones on the airplane, but I have these headphones that I was it was suggested to me to buy for the purpose of this show, and I put on some music, music that pumped me, music that is energy, music that is exciting, music that has soul, music that has a beat, music that pounds away at your inner being, and I got pumped. The call came in prior to the show, and I was ready. And I still had to wait about 7 or 8 minutes, which is fine. I understand all that. But I was ready. I prepared myself, right? And that's what basketball does for me, pick up basketball. And it could be anything. You could have a tennis match, a bowling league, soccer, basketball, baseball. A lot of guys play softball. Women are into softball and volleyball, swimming, bike riding, hiking, anything that gets out of the walls and lets you go into nature, right? Hike a mountain, go on a trail or off a trail. See what the world's around you. It's wonderful. And when you're done, you feel better. You don't eat as much. Straight up. I don't like to eat before I play. And when after I'm playing, I know I'm hungry, I come home, I have some applesauce, right? Maybe some grapes, glass of juice or something. I'm not hungry. It takes my mind off. So it's good for weight loss management and control. And Lord knows, me along with millions of other people, probably as many people that are going to participate in the National Healthcare to Your Health Lottery, we could use some help in maintaining our weight. But it's more than that. As I said, you get out there, you're with your buddies, you're with your guys, and you're doing something healthy, positive, constructive. Think of the life lessons that are taught by competing in sports. I'll never forget, about 10 years ago, I guess, our son was in day camp in town in the summer, as was our daughter. But she was working with my wife sometimes at a nursery school helping out. She's a little older. So I would pick up our son from camp at 12:30 or so, and he'd play around a little bit with some of his buddies. Then we'd come home about 1 o'clock, get him some lunch. I'd go in the basement, do some work. About 2, 2:30, I'd go upstairs and say, "Hey, what do you want to do?" "Well, it's the first week of summer. Let's ride bikes. Let's go for a swim. Let's go fishing. Let's go for a hike, blah, blah, blah." Well, by the end of the week, he was done. And you know what? So was I. So I said to myself, "Man, the kids are here. Where the hell are they? You go to the park after camp, no one's there. No one is there. Where are they? They're home playing games or watching TV or something." So it was elementary school. I got the school directory. I looked up some emails and phone numbers of people who I knew and who my wife knew. And we sent out a little email and made some phone calls. And all it said was, pick up baseball, Borough Park, the playground at the baseball field. Bring your glove, a hat, a bat, and a water, something to drink. 2 o'clock, we'll play a game. And I knew most of the kids because I coached Little League with a lot of these boys and their fathers. And so we got there. The first day, there were about 7 kids showed up. which was cool. And I knew them all. They all knew me. Their mothers dropped them off. I said, hello, you want to stay? You can stay. You want to go do some errands or sit in the back and read a book? Do that. Just come back, you know, about 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock and see. All right, so we did some basic stuff that we've done, that I've done with the kids for years, coaching. We did infield practice. We did outfield practice. We hit the cutoff man, batting practice, and so forth. And it was good. The kids liked it, and it ended around 3:30. The mother started to come and take the kids home. Well, that was, I believe, on a Tuesday, if I recall, because we sent the information out on a Monday. By the end of the following week on Thursday, so we had that Tuesday, the first game, second game day, we had about 10 kids. The following Tuesday, it rained. And then the following Thursday, I had put the email out again Tuesday, 27 kids showed up. And they came on bikes and scooters and walking. And the kids who lived a little far out got a ride in the minivan from mom, who brought three or four kids. And it was fantastic. And here's how it worked. I pitched. I had a bag of baseballs. So I pitched. Because a lot of the kids, remember, these are third graders. And we had ranges from third grade to 10th grade. That's how much it was of an interest there was. And that's how kids wanted to play. Third grade to 10th grade. I pitched so I can control the flow of the game. Because the little kids who all wanted to pitch, the big kids didn't want to pitch, the little kids. The little kids just can't find a strike zone and can't make it work. So I figured, let me pitch. And that's all I did. We all arrived. Two kids made each, divided into two teams. Each one had a manager or a captain. And it wasn't always the oldest kid who was a captain. In fact, the older kids who were captains maybe the first few times told somebody else, you be captain today. All right, and what'd they do? They picked teams, they made a batting order, they assigned field positions. And it was like the old days. I said, wow, and I hate to sound nostalgic about the old days, but things were simple back then. And again, the kids love this because it was simple. And you know me, I'm the master of simple. And what did they do? They played, and they shared gloves, and they rotated positions. The infielders played the outfield, and the outfield played the infield. And we had 12 guys on a team. Who cared? There was nobody yelling, screaming, hollering, bellowing, cursing, anything at the kids. They were just there to play and have fun. And that's what they did. And some parents would bring their kids, and they didn't know who I was. And I introduced myself at the park and said, here, pull up a chair, sit on the bleachers, and stay. And some of them did for the first half hour and say, oh, this is enough for me. I'm going out. I'm doing stuff, which they did. And it was fine. Can I understand in today's world, you got to be careful with safety and security and the well-being of kids. And anybody, I will say this right now, anybody who messes with kids, get them away. Get them the hell out of society because they're ruining it for everybody. Kids can't go and just play. They can't go to the park. The parks are empty. I used to take the kids when they were little to the park after dinner every day, 6:30, right? One night I couldn't do it because I had some business to do in the basement. So our neighbors took the kids over, and I came over about a half hour later. I pulled into the parking lot, 20 kids, 40 grown-ups. And as I got out of the car walking toward the playground, I felt 40 sets of eyes on me like, who's this guy? What's going on? And I didn't feel cool until my kids ran into my arms and yelled, hi, Daddy, let's play. So back to the pickup baseball game. The game was scheduled from 2 to 4. Well, mom started showing up 3:30, quarter to 4. Some mom brought juice boxes or goodie bags or candy or ice pops or something. I said, they don't need that. Take it home. Give it to the people who need it. We don't need it, right? Your kids don't. They've been playing for 2 hours, running around, sweating, having a good time, yelling and screaming and so forth. What did the kids learn? They learned about what? Anger management. They learned about teamwork. They learned about conflict resolution. They learned about sharing. They learned about leadership. They learned about competition. I think I might have said that already. They learned all these valuable tools by playing pickup baseball at the park with me pitching. Right? Now, some of the dads got wind of this, and I was getting emails and phone calls saying, let's do it on Saturday. Oh, by the way, you know how sad it is? I had to call the town recreation department to get permission to use the field from 2 to 4 when it's public property. We own it. The people own it in the town. Our taxes go to maintain it. But I had a call because I didn't want to step on anybody's foot. And worst of all, I didn't want to get kicked off the field by some authority figure or semi-authority figure and have that embarrassment in front of the kids. I didn't do a good job. And that bothered me. So I called, I got permission. They said yes, but you have to be off by 6 o'clock. Okay. Well, some of the dads, I said, got wind of this, and they wanted to come. I said, sure, we'll do it Saturday. I put the email out. Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, everybody showed up. We had 18, 20, 25 kids, didn't matter. About 10 dads came, and I started pitching. One guy said, well, let me do it. I said, you pitch. The other guy said, what do you want me to do? I said, you ain't doing anything. What do you mean? I said, there's nothing to do. Let the kids play. But I want to make sure. No, you don't have to do anything, man. Just sit and watch your kid, hang out with the guys, go up to the basketball part of the park and shoot some hoops. But leave the kids alone. They don't need you hollering, screaming, yelling, cursing, coaching, positioning, doing anything out there. That's what makes the kids nuts. Go to the park. It ain't the crazy kids. Some of them are. But it ain't the crazy kids as a rule. It's the crazy parents living their life vicariously through their kids. Leave the kids the hell alone and they'll play. They'll play fine. They will become empowered, not enabled. They can make a lineup. They can spell a name, and if they misspell it, who cares? And if they go outside the lines, who cares? Right? Let the kids play. Let them be alone. Well, some of these guys couldn't take it. Either their ego or their pride or something was hurt, their feelings. And you know what? I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so I said, well, you can pitch. God didn't want to pitch. He said, can I stand and coach? No, get out of the coaching box. The kids are in the first and third base coaching box. And the funny thing was, it was funny to watch when one of the ninth or tenth grader kids came up who were giants to third, fourth, and fifth graders, and I was pitching. I'd always try to put one right in there. So, and all the little guys would just take off and go as far out into the outfield as they possibly could because they knew the big kids could hit long fly balls that they would try to catch but usually didn't. But it was fun to watch the migration of kids all over the field to a pull hitter, trying to do it. And it takes me back to my youth. We did this. My brother was one of the older boys, and I was one of the younger ones. And we had 15 or 20 kids in the neighborhood. And we were just regular kids. We found a park to play in. We were playing baseball. And one of the kids in town, we all wore sneakers and dungarees, or jeans as they're called now, or cut-ups, or whatever you have. One kid, a sixth grader, came sliding into second base, spikes up. He had spikes, which is what they used to be called. Spikes, which are metal cleats on the bottom of the shoe. And he came in spikes up, and it was like a third or fourth grader covering the base. And the sliding sixth or seventh grader came in spikes up, could have ripped the kid's arm or face or anything. Well, the big boys came over to this kid and said, you get out of here. You go home. We don't do that around here. And the kid went home. At like 10:30, we had started about 9:30, right? These were the days when you could stay out all day, and if you went home early to your mother, she said, what are you doing home? Sure enough, the story was out. The kid went home, was sitting on his front stoop. Mother came out. What are you doing home? No. Did you do something stupid? No. Did they kick you out? Yeah. Well, what'd you do? Well, I came in cleats first on a third grader, and blah, they kicked me out. We don't play that way. Well, good. You sit there. The mother's telling the kid to sit there, and maybe they'll let you come back and play. Well, about 3 or 4 days later, here comes this kid, hat hanging down over his face, shuffling on into the field, goes up to the big kids, and says, I want to play. And they look down, and he was wearing sneakers. They say, okay, you learned, right? He learned. He learned the easy way. Some might say, you're going to hurt his feelings if you kick him out and have to go to therapy and learn to do all the things that he learns on the baseball field of practice and play. But the kid learned, turned out to be a good kid, and everything was fine. But life lessons are learned out there. Simple life lessons. Like I just said, people spend hundreds, thousands of dollars on therapy that hopefully works. In the reality, medication and therapy doesn't work because therapy eventually ends, and people don't take their medicine. So they go back to square one. You got to learn life lessons to empower yourself when you're young. If you wait, you're going to have problems. If you're an enabled person, you're going to have problems. If everybody's doing everything for you, you're not going to be able to function in society, right? You're not going to be able to produce for yourself. You'll be taken care of or tolerated. Because people, straight up, just ain't putting up with that stuff anymore. Hopefully, the trend is turning and changing away from not wanting to hurt someone's feelings because he didn't have a birthday party when he was 4 years old or whatever happened. But pick up basketball with the guys, banging bodies, making a shot. Holy geez, if I make a shot, I get a standing ovation, right? Because I rarely shoot. I like to pass. Passing the ball to me is the greatest thing in the world. Because in basketball and soccer, the pass sets up the shot and defense wins the game. The pass sets up the shot. Watch it, how the game has evolved. The winning teams will pass, get to the shooter. Same thing in soccer. Pass, find the scorer, the striker, the guy who's going to put the ball in the net with his big foot. But the life lessons that kids learn on the field of play, regardless of where it is, without adult, grown-up intervention, are priceless and valuable and necessary and needed, right? Go to an elementary or a middle school, go to the health office where the nurse is, and look at the amount of charts that she has and the number of kids she sees on a daily basis to make sure they get their prescription meds, many of which are psychotropics. What the heck is going on? A kid acts out. A kid is a little different. A kid doesn't fit in the round peg in the square hole, whatever that is. And right away, he's got attention deficit. This stuff never existed. What the hell was ADD? We didn't know what it was. Manufactured. We'll give him some Ritalin. We'll get him drugged out. He'll eventually smash it up and snort it, or someone will, he'll sell it to somebody and get hooked on other kinds of drugs as well. But the reality is we are drugging our kids instead of letting them play and be kids. A friend of mine was substitute teaching one time in a middle school. I think she had about seventh grade. And it was a beautiful Friday afternoon, and it had been a tough winter, and it was nice and crisp and cool and dry outside. So she called the principal, or she called the office and said, listen, I'd like to send the kids out for the last half hour of class. It's Friday. I'll let them go play and run around and blah, 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 blah. Secretary said, I'll call you back. Secretary called back in a couple of minutes and said, no, you can't do that. You can't. Just like you can't do the national health care lottery to your health. You can't do this at 62. You can't do that. No, you can't let the kids go out and play. Why? My friend said, why? Well, it's a little chilly out there, and some of the kids don't have a jacket. They might catch cold. Whoa. And it rained, and there's it rained a couple days ago, and one section of the playground out there is still muddy and moist, and the kids might bring dirt back into the house, into the school. Well, what do we have janitors and maintenance guys? What are we paying to do? Clean the floor. Clean the school. Again, I'll get on the schools and stuff like that in the future. But anyway, that's where we've come to, where we don't allow the kids. We almost prohibit them from playing and being kids. Yelling, screaming, jumping, climbing, rolling, kicking a ball, just running around, letting off steam. They'd do a lot better in class if they have some time for recess and play and fun and activity, as opposed to sitting in another lecture, seminar, computer class, history, whatever it is. They don't need more of that. They get enough of that, right? In fact, some places I've read, and I'll go into this later, they want to have an extended school day. Oh, sure. Let's give kids who are miserable and medicated more school and no play. What the heck is this world coming to? We got to get the kids playing. They'll love it. Try it in your town. There's people who will volunteer. You don't need but an hour or two, maybe three. Do it in shifts. G-verb. Get up, get out, get going. Get up, get out, get going. You'll see the results almost immediately. And you won't have to talk about it with anybody, an expert. You won't have to go to the pharmacy to get medicine for it because you won't need it. And you'll be more productive than you ever thought possible. So much to talk about in such a short time. I've touched on a lot of areas tonight. Remember, the overlying theme when I started was empowerment, because when you're empowered, you can accomplish more than you ever thought possible. Not that I'm proof of it, but I'm running a pretty good show right now. Not on the radio, I'm talking about in life. And we want to do this for our kids, the next generation, so that we don't have to depend and rely on them to take care of us. Maybe we're independent. Maybe we stay empowered as long as our health and economic position allow us to. And it allows the kids the pleasure, the joy, the freedom of going out and discovering this great world, of learning about other people, other cultures, other foods, other languages, other music, other than where they grew up and where they're from. Because the whole world isn't your neighborhood. The whole world isn't your town. The whole world isn't you. There's more to it, and there's a lot of things we can learn from each other if we put everything aside that is causing us conflict, that is causing us distraction, that is causing us interference, and is taking away the spirit, the energy, the soul, and the life within us. Power up your power. The power is in you. This is Marty Ford from the basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station, hoping to have you listen again on BBS Radio. And one last thing, I am a military veteran. I served in the Air Force from 69 to 73. I have a website, which is www.connectwithveterans.com. And I could really use some a boost here, and someone of influence and power and position, sort of like the lottery as well. It's a registry for veterans of all military branches, former and current veterans, to sign up and find each other. And there is a $25 registration fee and a $10 yearly renewal fee, and the money goes to two places. One is to help defray the cost of running the website, which is not that much, and all other money will be distributed to deserving veterans. I am not a nonprofit. I don't want to go that way. I want to retain control. And when I hear of stories, when people send in information about deserving veterans who need a boost out of a rough time, we're going to be there to help. But I need people to talk to others and have them sign up on the registration form at www.connectwithveterans.com. Also, if you want to reach me via email, I have an email address, which is HAMP, H-A-M-P, HAMP73@gmail.com. If you have anything constructive to say, criticism is always welcome. I know that's probably more forthcoming than affirmations, but that's okay too. It's a world we live in, and I'm open to that, and I'll discuss that stuff. Later on during these broadcasts, if we have time and I can figure out technologically how to do it with the help of the engineers, because I am challenged that way, maybe we can take some phone calls and hear what you have to say, either for, against, whichever is on your mind. But again, okay?